You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We were just listening to A Bong Jaya with Message in a Hammer. And this is Julian Dine with Copernicus, and we will be chatting to Julian about some new music he is working on at the moment on the other side of this track. You're on BFM Breakfast. Kia ora. This is Copernicus by Julian Dine. Kia ora, Julian. How are you this morning?
Kia ora, Rachel. How are you?
Good. It is lovely to be able to chat to you. We're listening to this track from your excellent album, Teal, which came out ages ago now in 2018, and we're talking to you about a new record you've just announced. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yes, I've got a new album called Modes, which is coming out December 3rd on digital platforms, and then February for the vinyl.
That is very exciting. Some very good musical friends of yours are already attached to the project. I see the names Lady Six, Mariti K, Troy Kingi, Shay Fu, some pretty big ones there. Tell us a wee bit about how you put this album together, Julian.
Quite a bit of it was done during the first lockdown, so that was last year, I guess. So quite a lot of stuff was done remotely, so people recorded their parts in their own studios and sent me files, and there was lots of back and forth going on. So I managed to reach out to a bunch of people, like some of the people you mentioned, as well as some vocalists from Australia, and luckily people were into it and got on board, so yeah. Super fortunate.
It's a very weird year for music making. We had you in to chat about the excellent alpha sessions that you guys managed to sneak in before we got back into lockdown with Lady Six and Parks, and that seemed like some really cool time to just like try out new ideas and make some music and have that celebration of the live aspect of music making. But creating in lockdown seems to be a really particular mind space to have to get into. Was it something that you felt like you wanted to do because of being in lockdown, or was it a project you already kind of had ideas for and lockdown just happened to happen?
Yeah, mostly the latter. I'd already sort of started the record I was lucky enough to receive a Creative New Zealand grant, so I sort of had a little bit of a timeline attached to it via the grant, and yeah, it just kind of coincided with the lockdown. It was like I said, all the stuff that happened remotely, like people recording parts. I think some people maybe had more time because they weren't touring and stuff, so kind of fortunate in that regard, but also quite strange and isolating to be just working on it by yourself and not be able to get in the studio with people. Like receiving files in the mail of people's takes, you know, instrumentalists' takes on the tunes and vocal parts is pretty exciting. It's kind of like little Christmas packages, you know, like you're excited to get in there and dive in. And something else happens when people are kind of left to their own devices. They kind of give you all sorts of different other bits of things that maybe you wouldn't do in the same room together. So, and that can go both ways. It can work really well, and sometimes it can miss the mark. But quite often you get special treats from people, you know, where they've done something which you might not have thought of in the same space.
It's really cool. I like that idea of them sort of just arriving and you get to open these little, you know, magical parcels of music. What was the sort of timeline for you for putting this whole project together? Was it just basically the lockdown length, or was it a longer version than that?
Longer than that. So it started before the lockdowns. Mm-hmm. I think probably quite a bit of the bulk of it was done during the lockdown, but then it spilled out over that, and I finished it up late last year. Oh, when was it? I'm not sure when I finished it. I finished it a while ago, but it was generally kind of confined to that time and space.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it shaped the way you thought about the record at all?
I guess I thought about that a bit. I mean, it's still kind of geared towards playing it out and it being associated with dance floors and that kind of thing. So, and kind of being relatable to DJ culture. So it doesn't sort of necessarily work in space where people aren't doing that, but I guess maybe I've got a bit of a hope that all those things will return back to normal.
I think that's something that I'm really looking forward to, is a lot of the music that we're getting to hear across this period at the moment feels like stuff I'm just so keen to see live. And I reckon this album is going to be a big one for that, or something I just want to hear in the club as well. And I think that will be extra special when you get to sort of finally see it in the form it was, you know, intended to be heard or felt. Are you planning taking this out, playing it live when you can do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sort of like forming a new group around it, and I'm hoping I'm going to be able to take Samesti Mayaya with me and Lewis McCallum. So I'm kind of extending it out into a slightly bigger incarnation of the Julian Dine thing. Definitely I want to get out and do some festivals and do some club shows and stuff. So all going to plan. It will be early next year.
Exciting.
There'll be some shows, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Tell us a wee bit about working with Samesti, because he's on your first track that you've released, which is called Your Life. People will know him from Marlon's Dreaming. They've just put out an excellent album in their own right. He's a great vocalist and songwriter. How did you guys come to collaborate?
It's actually quite a funny story. We both ended up playing at Cross Street Music Festival a couple of years back, and he came and introduced himself and said, he said, it's a funny story, he said the only reason they agreed to do the festival is because they saw that I was on the lineup, and apparently him and his mates all listened to Keel in their flat together in Dunedin, and they're big fans, and I thought he was kind of joking at first, but it was true, and then so we hung out a bit more and then started collaborating. And we've actually got a bunch of tracks together. So he's on awesome. Three tracks on the album, and we have a few more spares saving for a later date. So yeah, no, he's incredible. Like, I'm just so lucky and so fortunate to have found a collaborator like Samisi, and I hope we get to do lots more stuff.
That's really exciting, and I think it's nice as well to have that that new friendship and new collaboration sitting alongside some of your decades-long friendships that will be on this album as well, with people like Lady Six and Mudder and that kind of crew. How has your, I guess, writing and musical collaboration process changed over the years? Because you've all worked on each other's projects. It's, you know, a very supportive community. How do you feel it's changed for you working with your old friends?
Well, it's quite natural the way it works. I mean, I'm a long-term member of Lady's band, so she's, I guess, my boss in some senses in that kind of capacity. Mm. And when she guests on my stuff, maybe she's kind of putting on a slightly different hat, and I'm also, like, doing a little bit of a different role by being a producer rather than being a band member.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, we all get along really well, and I think perhaps maybe more of those people you mentioned are probably quite busy with their own projects, and it's as time goes on, it's quite hard to sort of to rope people in and pin them down because they've done so many records with me already. And but luckily, yeah, they agreed, and yeah, I'm super fortunate to have those people in my life and on the record. You know, it's It's really a blessing to have friends of that caliber.
Oh, totally.
That you can call on, you know?
Yeah, and it's great for us as listeners as well, because we get such excellent music out of it. The record is coming out, as you say, early next year, and hopefully we will get to see it live if everyone goes and gets vaccinated and does all the right things at the moment.
Yeah.
But what are you most looking forward to when we can get back to that live music space and see other bands and perform yourself? What are some of the things you're looking forward to, Julian?
Oh, absolutely all of that, you know, being back and seeing people and hanging out and making music and having people dance, and yeah, just I guess probably what most people in society are looking forward to, you know.
Mm.
Having barbecues and and having meals with people and all that stuff. But yeah, definitely a return to live gigs. I mean, I'd love to just go to a gig as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
imagine going to a gig at Whammy, or you know, it'll be so cool, or a festival.
Yeah,
so yeah, I think everyone's sort of gagging to get back into that space. And I've got hope that it will happen.
Yes, me too. Well, we've given us some excellent music to listen to in the meantime, and some good stuff to look forward to. So I reckon we should listen your first single with Samisi, Your Life, from your new record, Modes. Julian Dine, thank you so much for chatting with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much, Rachel.
See you soon.
Cool, thank you. Bye.
Your life.
95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.